today. We're just talking about where you can advertise on a budget.
Okay.
And it's a good starting point. And you know what? My number one place to advertise, if you're trying to do it on a budget, is Google. Google AdWords, what a fantastic device. You can niche down so that you are getting in front of the right people. So you're only placing that message out there for people who are looking specifically for your products and services.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome again to David versus David, the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where we look at all things related to business, advertising, marketing, internet, print advertising, all sorts of good stuff. And we are a two-host podcast here. Myself, David Pritchard, in sunny UK, and my co-host down on the other side of the world, covering all the bases in the Southern Hemisphere, is David Council. Hello, David.
G'day, mate. Always good to be back doing another David versus David podcast. I say it like it happens infrequently, but in fact it does happen every week.
What's it down like there in sunny Hobart?
Well, it is sunny. We had winds of over 110 kilometres an hour last night, so it was a bit windy, and it's a bit bloody cold today. It's 9 degrees at the moment.
Sizzling along here, mate. Sizzling along. We're on at least 10 or 11, so there you go.
Peak of summer, then.
Indeed, absolutely. So look, every week we talk about something business related, advertising related, marketing related, whatever. And our regular listeners will know that we have dozens, indeed we can say hundreds, well, 102 or 103 episodes before this one. So lots of useful and hopefully relevant information for our listeners. What are we going to be talking about today to add to the bank of the bank and wealth of knowledge that we've created behind us here?
Well, we record this, just in case anyone doesn't know, on a Tuesday. And I think today it's cheap ass Tuesday, Dave. It's the day that everybody in Australia, if they want to go and get a cheap movie ticket, they go on a Tuesday. Well, the question that I get asked a lot is, what's the cheapest thing for me to do to advertise? How can I cut my costs? So if you're looking for cheap ass Tuesday, you have come to the right place today.
Something you just said there, David, you cut my costs. That's not necessarily the only way of looking at it, though, because I think for a lot of small businesses looking to advertise their business and that kind of thing, it's actually even not so much cutting the cost, but where to actually spend the money that they have got. You know, you might feel they haven't got that much money to invest in advertising. So it's not necessarily cutting something, but it's actually just searching and knowing where to actually advertise at all effectively and cheaply, if you like. So, you know, there is another aspect to that one, I guess.
Absolutely. And I am, it's good that you brought that up, actually, because I'm a big fan of people not wasting money in any way, shape or form. I don't care whether you're buying an ice cream or you're buying yourself a Mercedes-Benz. There's no point in paying too much for something. So when it comes to your advertising, you've got to make sure that you're getting good value for money. And the best way to do that is to put your dollars into advertising that's going to be where your customers are. You know, stop going, well, I think I'll do television because television's, you know, the maximum medium. Well, not if only three people who are watching that program are your customer. So,
absolutely.
You know, you've really got to hit that spot where your customers genuinely are. However, having said that, we're not focusing on that today. We're just talking about where you can advertise on a budget.
Okay.
And it's a good starting point. And you know what? My number one place to advertise, if you're trying to do it on a budget, is Google. Google AdWords, what a fantastic device. You can niche down so that you are getting in front of the right people. So you're only placing that message out there for people who are looking specifically for your products and services or your product and service groups. You can set a daily budget. You can restrict it to the size of the area that you want to advertise. I mean, how big is London these days, David? You know, geographically, how many, you know, square kilometres? Or if you put a pin into the centre of the city and drew a circle, how big would London be?
You're probably looking at a radius of around about 20, 25 miles, something like that.
Bloody so that's, huge.
Using the old trigonometry, pi r squared, 25 squared times 3. Oh, yeah, big.
Yeah, absolutely huge. You know, if you're living in a small country town, you know, feasibly you might really only be interested in, you know, 10 kilometers from the local post office, or 5 kilometers. So, you know, Google AdWords will allow you to target just that area. It also allows you to niche down right down to the product. Now, let's say you're a heating and cooling specialist and you sell inverters, heat pumps, then you would want to place an ad for a heat pump. If the cost of a heat pump ad is 60 cents and that's only when someone clicks on it, that's great value. In fact, that's about as good a value as you're going to get, you know, 60 cents to reach somebody who's actually searching for something that you've got to sell, as opposed to, say, putting a radio ad on or a TV ad or one in the newspaper or even doing direct mail, for example, where, you know, you might be paying, in terms of cost per thousand people reached, you know, a huge amount more than that.
Yeah, indeed. Now, I mean, I think Google AdWords is, you know, a great way to just get yourself going on the advertising route. Like you say, there's lots of benefits to it, lots of helpful features to it. I mean, you can restrict the amount of money that you pay each day, each week, whatever. So you can set your budget. Once you've spent your money, you know, you're not committed to spending anymore. So you know what you're in for. Like you say, it's super supremely targeted, because your advert is only going to appear on the searches that you've specifically requested. So, you know, where this phrase or these words appear. So, you know, you were talking about, you know, say you're looking for an air conditioning engineer or a plumber in a certain area and so on. So your advert will only appear where those keywords appear. We've had two or three episodes actually earlier in our series, episodes 48, give or take, around about there, two or three episodes around there, with one of the masters of Google Ads, which is Mike Rhodes. There's lots of fantastic information in those. If you're considering stepping into the world of Google Ads, please listen to those two or three episodes. One or two strong hints and tips in here is you can exclude your advert from appearing when certain other words appear. So if somebody's looking for something that's related to your business, but they also include the word cheap, or they include the word free or free trial or stuff that raises warning flags for you that they're going to be tire kickers and just going to soak up your time or your effort, you can exclude your advert from appearing when people type in those words as well. You know, and you can also make it so that your advert only appears when people put exactly the right combination of words in. So again, it restricts your advert from appearing at times when you think, you know, perhaps it's not as directly relevant as you want. You know, you got to be careful. You just got to think about the words, the searches that you actually want your adverts to appear on, and then they can become very laser focused and honed in directly down to your target market, and that works very well. And if you have different adverts, I mean, this is you know, a strong suggestion. You want different adverts, different wording, perhaps taking people to different landing pages as well on your website. So, you know, you might try different groups of adverts to appeal to slightly different target markets that you have. Make sure that you take each one to a specific landing page that's particularly relevant for them, particularly relevant maybe for the offer that you're making and the group that you're targeting. So, you know, everything on this can become very, very laser focused, and you will get a very effective, relatively inexpensive return on your investment.
One thing worth noting, though, with Google AdWords is that if Google thinks that a lot of people are searching for your particular product or service on that day, it will actually allow your budget to be exceeded by 20%. Mm-hmm. So it's not an advertising medium that is sort of set and forget. You do need to interact with it and make sure that, you know, you haven't had 5 or 6 days in a row where you've exceeded that budget. Because if you are trying to stick right inside a budget, then that is an area where you potentially could get to the end of the month and go, oh, hello, what's going on here? So you may need to go back in and then adjust your budgeting or adjust the days. However, having said that, if you have exceeded that daily budget by 20%, then you should have got a greater conversion for that day, which should have paid off at the other end through the till. If it didn't, then of course go and have a look at where you're sending that ad through to make sure that it's going to the right page and you're not just sending it, you know, to some general page or your home page on your website where you're less likely to convert.
Well, you're certainly going to want to keep a pretty close eye on it those first few days of running adverts anyway.
Yes.
Because obviously you're going to want to know what's working. And, you know, you may be running one group ads that's really converting reasonably well, and another group of adverts that's just not doing much for you. They might be generating clicks and they might be costing you, but you've got to see if they're the right ones for you and if they're actually leading to conversions into sales that you want. Because if not, then you are wasting your money on that one. So yeah, you want to certainly keep a pretty close eye on it at the beginning of any campaign, and then you can get a little bit lazier maybe as you go along, but you know, I'd always recommend keeping a close eye on it at all times. But
absolutely.
What's the next way?
Okay, well, the next one is a bit like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Twins. So we've spoken about Google AdWords. So the twin, the Danny DeVito, if you like, in this particular show is Facebook ads. Because Facebook ads, in principle, operate in the same sort of way as Google AdWords do, in that you can geographically target, you can set a daily budget or an overall campaign budget. However, the thing that makes this twin a little bit more interesting and have a bit more character is because Facebook is a giant database, you can then start selecting the things that people are interested in so that they get served the ads. So if you're a car dealer and you want to service people who are in the market to buy a car, then you start really niching into Facebook using their database to help you on the way through. And the other thing is, of course, that you can select so that people who already like your page don't get to see the ads, if that's, you know, who you're targeting. Equally, you can select only the people who like the page to get to see those ads as well. It depends on the type of campaign that you're running. So you get these added extras when you're using Facebook. Now, having said that, the reason why for me Google AdWords is number one and Facebook is number two is that Google gives better results in my experience. Facebook is really still experimenting themselves with how ads work. There have been multiple changes, even in the last few months, as to how Facebook is serving those ads and how they're allowing you to reach the market. So they're still finding their way. That's not to say it doesn't work, it's just that Google's been doing it a bit longer, their model's a bit firmer, and the results that I see coming out for our clients are better out of Google AdWords than they are out of Facebook.
What do you tell me? I've heard this several times from all sorts of different sources. You know, do you think it boils down to the fact that when people are searching on Google, they are searching for stuff, and that adverts that get served up to them are perhaps what they're expecting and perhaps finding more useful? So let's assume you're not just, you know, searching on what films did Johnny Depp appear in or something like that, but you know, you are searching for something. So therefore, it's not unreasonable to think that, you know, if an advert is served up for somebody that's looking for a plumber in Melbourne or an electrician in St Kilda or some district of London or whatever, it would not be unreasonable to have an advert served up. And if it's directly relevant, there's a fair chance a person might click on it. Whereas Facebook is a social engagement, you know, it's a social media platform. People aren't necessarily using Facebook to search for product. They might be searching for interests and groups and that kind of thing that they might be interested in joining or finding information that's perhaps relevant to them. But they're not perhaps searching for products. What do you reckon to that?
You're going to be surprised to know that I entirely agree with you on all of that. I think that is absolutely right. When you're using Facebook, you are not engaged in the same way that you are when you're doing a Google search. Facebook is, it's a mixture of relaxation and information gathering. And therefore, it's a bit like, you know, when you advertise on a television program. You know, if the ad comes up and you're not in the market, then you're just not going to be interested in the ad, as opposed to when you're on Google and you're searching. You are clearly there just to search for the ad. Facebook usually sell their ads on the number of impressions that are going out or the number of people who are clicking on it, whereas AdWords is purely about the click. These are all things that you've got to consider. And the other thing is if you're writing an ad to go on Facebook, it's very different to the ad that you write that goes onto a Google AdWord. You know, Google AdWord is like a text message or a tweet. You know, you're restricted by the number of characters, whereas Facebook, you can bang on as long as you like about it. You can have pictures and all sorts of things. So I think you get a very focused message that calls you to action in Google AdWords, whereas Facebook, people tend to bang on a bit too much, that they genuinely don't understand how to write a Facebook ad properly to get people to engage. And because, you know, as I said, it's like television where people can just surf past it if they're not interested in it, that also reduces the effectiveness of the ad.
Yeah, that's all fair enough. But, you know, I've done Facebook ads and they do work. They do have an effect. You have to think about what you're doing. Bear in mind, it's a different kind of engagement than it is with Google ads, which is what David was just saying there.
Absolutely. Please don't get me wrong. Facebook ads do work. Mm-hmm. The effectiveness of the ad, though, comes down to what you've written, what time you've put it out. Did you put it out multiple times? How many times is that ad being served to the potential customer? Because you know what? I might be sitting on the couch tonight scrolling through my newsfeed. An ad comes up about a car, you know, a family car. And I'm just, you know, I'm not in the right headspace. I'm not interested. And yet at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, I might be in the right headspace. So you've got to make sure that that ad is reserved.
Mm-hmm. Something I see with ads is Facebook ads typically create more curiosity. They're more singing to you from a different hymn sheet, if you like. They're trying to get you engaged, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I'm slightly wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just kind of get the feel that they're more trying to start a story rather than blatantly sell you something, if you like. It's a different kind of beast, a different kind of market, and a different kind of user experience at the time. So just bear that in mind, I guess, is what we're saying there.
Absolutely.
Right. Ready for a third or fourth one, David?
Yep. I think the next one, and this is not easy, but is very effective, and that is getting published. Now, getting published doesn't necessarily just mean online. For example, in this country, there are a large number of motoring groups, RACT, NRMA, RACQ. They're all the Royal Automobile Club of something. And they put out a publication that goes out usually every month. I think it is every month, every quarter. And they look for people to contribute. So if you can contribute an article that will talk to the lifestyle group that they're interested in, they will publish you. Equally, you can also go to places that will publish online. But it's hard because just because you're ready to have something published doesn't mean that the publisher is ready for the content that you're looking to serve up. You're better off to try and develop a relationship with them, find out what they're interested in having articles written about, and then serve that need rather than rocking up and saying, hey, I sell widgets. I could write an article on widgets. Would you be interested? Because then it becomes very black and white, yes or no. So find out what they're interested in and then write the article towards that and how what you do serves that particular need.
Yeah, indeed. I'd like to add something in on that one, actually. Yep. As well as getting published online, let's say, getting published, as in you're talking about having content on other people's websites and other people's platforms there, but if you have a degree of expertise, you know, if you want to be, I think we've covered this in previous episodes, you know, you want to become the authority.
Be the go-to guy. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, become the authority in your marketplace. Then, you know, write your own guide, write your own checklist, if you like, write your own solution. If you were the customer with a problem to get solved, you know, guide them through the A to Z of solving that problem, guide them through the 1 to 10 of doing the solving the problem. Create your guide, create the book, create the ebook of your own product, if you like, information product to sell or to give away or to sell. And in fact, I've seen a few people do this. They've written books about their experiences of starting a business, which have become very helpful as a start your own business guide. They've actually taken it a stage further and actually published it as a hardback or paperback book. That is a huge business card in its own right. You know, if you can take it to that stage, you're generating something there that's the biggest advert. When you go and see a customer and you can hand them your expertise in a book, you know, they are going to remember you forever and they're going to think, wow, this business is the one to remember. So, you know, you've probably built up a wealth of knowledge in your business area. You know, use that as one of your advertising mediums. Use that as a giveaway or whatever that you want to drive people to your business. So it can be a huge level of authority that you can give people there.
Absolutely. But if you're the go-to guy for your particular industry, then, you know, remember that opens up getting published on radio and on television and in newspaper, in anyone, anywhere where there's a journalist who has a question about what it is that you do, you want to be the person that they come to. And that's why, you know, getting published is fantastic because it gives you authority, but it's hard work because you've got to do a whole heap of work before you actually get to do the bit, which is getting published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Okay, one that I come across every now and again, and I've done this occasionally for people, but either giving product, giving time, or donating basically to a cause, whether it's a worthy cause or an event or something like that. You're perhaps giving something in return for potential, you know, website people. Now, this is where I've done one or two for local charity causes where you do a website, and of course you get the recognition for doing the website. Now that works if the freebie that you're giving is going to give you exposure to the right kind of people and the right kind of businesses that you want. So if you do a website for something that involves other businesses, they might say, well, who built this charity website? Who built this event website? It's David. We'll go to him for, we need some tweaks doing to our one. You know, you've created a load of exposure for yourself there. If you're doing something freebie for a brand new business that's just starting up and, you know, you think, oh God, they're going to go nowhere, then you've got to consider whether you're wasting your time or not. You've got so much time that you can give, I guess, to good causes. I'm not saying being totally avaricious about it, but be focused as to where you do it. If you're looking for a return from it, they can be worthwhile. They can give you a lot of benefit. If it's something you want to do just for the sheer worthiness of it and giving it away, then fair enough. But if you're looking for return, you can work with the right kind of freebie opportunity that will actually lead you to get some benefit from it.
Absolutely. Because remember, when you do that sort of work, ultimately what you're genuinely after is access to their database.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing that they can give you. And by that, I don't mean they have to give you physically their database, because there are laws and all sorts of issues that go along with that. But give them information that they can send out, and make sure that, you know, part of the deal is that they will send it out. You know, that way you're not just, you know, being altruistic and, you know, doing a nice thing and, you know, letting them have this fantastic information or fantastic service. You are going to get something back from it.
You're looking for exposure to their database.
Correct. Site, really. That's exactly right.
So if you're giving away products, if you're giving away something that's, I get asked, or for one, a business I run, get asked on a regular basis, probably two or three times a week, for giveaways and donations to raffles and online auctions and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, a lot we do. And in return, you know, we make sure that it's the right kind of good cause. And preferably, it's the kind of good cause that's actually going to give us some exposure to a market, a target market that we wouldn't necessarily encounter ourselves. So, you know, if it's giving you something, it doesn't have to cost a lot. You know, it might be a £20 giveaway, it might be a £100 giveaway. It might get you, three, four, five times that kind of return if it's a market that you're not normally exposed to.
Absolutely. And one of the things you need to recognize, you know, I realize that we're talking Cheap Ass Tuesday here today, but the reason that most of these things are so cheap is because the work that's being done is being done by you. It means that really you're placing zero value on the hours that you have to put in to get these things mm-hmm. done. That's the sacrifice that you're willing to make to try and keep your advertising costs at a minimum, because all of these things can be done by someone else, but it would cost you. So that's where the genuine saving is being made in most of these.
Indeed.
Want another one?
Yeah, go on then.
What about putting your business details into places like Google Places or Yahoo Absolutely. Local or Bing Local?
People don't know this, especially if you've got a local business. Gosh, claim your local listing, please, please, please. You know, Google love Google. Don't forget that. And yep. if you've got a Google Places, people are typing in restaurants in downtown Leicester or something like that. You know, they're going to be serving up stuff that Google will serve up stuff where it's got local places listings. You know, if you get your business listing, if you haven't got it, they can't do it. And you know, you're missing some prime real estate on the Google search engine pages there.
And equally, any of those sort of local directories that you can find, register your business, because if it's giving a link from their website back to your website, while they might not be the greatest site in the world, at least that's a link that's traveling back to your site. It will help you with your search engine optimization. And if all it takes is for you to be doing that while you're sitting on the couch watching TV as well at night, then that's a good use of your time.
10 minutes, you can get that kind of thing done quite easily. One I would like to mention is, just this works quite well, is stuff like Craigslist and so on. You know, don't forget some good old simple advertising areas like that. You can offer your services, particularly services and so on through things and directory listings like that, where you can really get quite a cost effective turn on your money there. Often overlooked, often forgotten about. You know, everybody talks about Google Ads and Facebook Ads and all this sort of stuff. But actually, some of those kind of listings can work really well as well, depending what you have to offer. Electricians, plumbers, anything like that, local businesses, you can get quickly set up with that, and you can generate quite a bit of business from that. You'd be surprised at how many people still look at areas that you might have think were a bit yesterday, but they're actually still so popular.
Yep, absolutely. I think we've got time maybe just for one more, and that is distribute flyers, letterbox drop. This is actually the way that I got my first practical exposure to advertising. When my grandfather ran a real estate firm, he used to send me out and pay me 1 cent per leaflet dropped, and I used to go and letterbox people's homes with information about his business and how he was looking for houses to sell. You can do that too with your business. Design up a nice flyer. Remember, make sure that the message is about the problem that the customer has. Don't make it so that it's boasting about all of the things that you do. The customer is only interested in their problem and how you're going to solve it. So keep it simple, focus on that, get out, pound the pavement, distribute some flyers in your local area. That also is a really cheap way to do it.
I mean, you know, you've got friends, if you've got 15-year-old neighbors' kids or your own kids or whatever, you know, they're reasonable people to use on a cheap labor basis to help distribute those flyers for you. You don't have to pound the pavements yourself, but you know, a small army, 3 or 4 people, you can cover a big area like that. Absolutely. Oh,
other people that you know who are in business, who have, you know, good retail businesses like food places, who'd be happy to have your flyer on their counter. Talk to them as well. You know, leave them with 30 flyers and see how many people go out from that business as well. Yeah. You know, all of those things are worth doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, printing these things should be cheap as chips, really. So
absolutely.
Okie dokie. Anything else you want to include there, David, or shall we wrap it up for this week?
I think we can wrap it up, yeah.
I think we've done some good stuff in there, actually. If you're setting out on business, you haven't got the biggest budget in the world, if you're already spending money on advertising and you're looking at ways of reducing that cost a little bit because you're sort of not quite confident about the returns you're getting, and hopefully there's a few ideas in there for you. I say particularly Google Ads, have a look at previous episodes on that as well. We go into it in way more detail. Hopefully there's some little thoughts in there that maybe you can utilize to increase your return that you're getting from advertising. So that's about it for this week. You can get all the other episodes at davidversusdavid.com, our website, where every other episode is listed. And hope you like the headlines that start each episode. David comes up with a little corker each week on those. And we have our Facebook site, facebook.com/davidversusdavid, where we'd love to engage and hear from you. We get quite a few messages sent to us on that kind of thing. Some nice and engaging with us, and some telling us where to go. And we also have good old iTunes, of course, where you can find all the other episodes and subscribe and leave us those lovely glowing 5-star reviews. So from me here in the UK, it's David Pritchard saying over and out.
And from me here in beautiful Hobart, Tasmania, I look forward to talking to you with some more great marketing ideas again next week. Take care.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.